remember?
Well, some, it's been this past week, remember the 5th of November. Some have been big bangs, some have been little bangs, some have been beautiful displays. Why remember? Well, if you're like me, maybe you're not. I find I sometimes go out of a room to get something. Why have I come here? Yes. You're nodding in the right sort of... I'm not wishing you to be as forgetful as I am. But, yeah, we forget things. Like I forgot to put the Lord's Prayer and everything in. I had asked permission, or made sure it was okay. I'm not that old, but I am old. Or at 70, I'm older than some, but younger than others. I wasn't around for the war, and certainly not the First World War. But there are some names on that there, which are related to me. Never known them. They're Bentalls. They were my mother's mother's relations. We have Mac amongst us. Her son served in the forces. Her granddaughter is serving in the forces. Now, maybe others of you can mention. We've had Les make comment about his uncle. And there are others that you may be aware of, people who are serving, have served. And we're conscious that there are those, that the epitaphs that are there, that the plaques that are there, that remind us of people who didn't come back. There are other names on the thing. I don't know the particular people, but the names ring a bell to people who, other members of the family who were here when I started life here. I've been here a long time. It's useful to remember things. It's important to remember things because in the passing of time, we tend to forget what has happened. And today is one of those days when we can put aside the take time out to remember people who have, for the world wars, they didn't choose to serve. They received the letter, you're serving, you're signed up. We are called to be in God's army, to be his foot soldiers. We were hearing in the notices that next week we have an all-age service. And it's important, maybe you're not that connected to people with families or to children or young people, but if you have neighbours or friends, then do pray, do seek an opportunity to invite folk along that they will be able to come and hear the good news that Jesus saves. I'd looked up some references, whether I will find them in... thinking of remembering. In Deuteronomy 5 and 15, God's call to the people was, remember you were slaves in Egypt. And there's a sense we need to remember our past, where we've come from, but also remember that it's God who saved us by his grace. In Genesis 9 and 15, I will remember my covenant between me. And it's the story behind Noah and God setting a rainbow. I was looking at it earlier, and if I remember it correctly, or look it up correctly, it's something I hadn't seen until relatively recently. In Genesis 9, where are we going? 15. I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood and destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures and every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth." God, having had the time of judgment back in Noah's time, he set a rainbow in the sky as a reminder to us, the people, but also to God, that he would not do it again. There may be floods at other times and situations, but at that time it was a wiping out and a remaking. We were reading in Ecclesiastes, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." When we come to the Lord and find him as a young person, we have a long life to be able to devote to him. And in Jeremiah, there was that, "I will remember their sins no more." Memories. I didn't go to it, but in Habakkuk, it speaks of, "In wrath, remember mercy." And the psalmist in Psalm 25 puts it this way, "Remember, O Lord, your great mercy," calling upon him for mercy. And then in Philippians, they're just verses, but speaking of things to remember. And here, Paul, I look at the right chapter. In Philippians 1 and 3, he's speaking about the folk there in Philippians. Thanksgiving and prayer. "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for you, for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out, carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." There, Paul's being encouraged by remembering the fellowship there in Philippians, in the Philippians. And this confidence that God, who starts something, finishes it. And their confidences that we should have. I'm going to turn to Hebrews 6 and start at 13 to 20, really. Before I start there, I'm going to jump into the middle and to the text verse that took me here. Thinking about hope, and it led me in all sorts of directions, and my mind went butterflies. But verse 19 of chapter 6 of Hebrews. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, firm and sure, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. I'll put it into context now. Verse 13. Thinking of the certainty of God's promise. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Let's just have a word of prayer for a moment. Father, we thank you that your word is as true today as when it was first written. It's as powerful today as it was when it was first written. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a living word, and we ask that you would touch our hearts afresh, as you already have this morning, to gain a greater understanding for ourselves. What are you saying to me, to each one of us, Lord? Help us to have an understanding of what it is that you have given us, this hope that's a certainty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd come across this earlier in the week and shared it on Tuesday. As I read that verse 19 over to myself, I say it wrongly, I stumble over words. I sail. Haven't this year because the boat's not got into the water. That's another matter. And it talks of an anchor. Well, I know something about anchors. I've got three. I've only got two here. You're probably more like seeing an anchor like that. All right? It's not very heavy. It's not very big. And if you've got the right sort of ground, he'll hook in and hold you. That one's probably only a kilo or so. This one is a 5 kilo one. I've got a 7.5 kilo one in the car. I think I'm right at this. This is the 5 kilo one. And it's suitable for mud ground. It will dig in and hold. There's conditions about that. One of the conditions is you've got it tied to your boat. That tying, whether it's a rope or a chain, has got to be long enough that it goes down into the mud and it grabs. And that it's the mud, it's something firm. Let's leave that out of the way. I've had occasions where I was out off Foulness Sands where there were seals and folks would go out there quite frequently. It's a nice place to anchor up and have some food and watch the seals bathing on the sandbank or diving into the water. And one of the boats near me, big posh boat, well, I thought it was, certainly more expensive than mine, and it started getting closer. He got his anchor out, I got mine out. And I'm thinking, well, is it him moving or is it me? His anchor hadn't gone down far enough. What did our scriptures say? Verse 19. We have a hope as an anchor for the soul. Our souls. We have an anchor. Now, it's not that sort. But it's this that enters into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God, where Jesus has gone to be our High Priest, to offer on our behalf. It's not just a hope, it's something that's firm, it's something that's sure. It's not going to drift. The boat beside me, thankfully they realised, well they weren't, they were in the neighbourhood, they weren't beside me. They realised it early enough and dealt with it and either put more down or moved off. In the sea situation, you can put it down and maybe it doesn't, it's not mud, it's sand and gravel, and maybe it hasn't dug in hard enough, or maybe there's weed down there and it's picked up the weed. What is our anchor for the soul in? In here, in Hebrews, he's telling us this hope that we have, it's given of God. He's sworn of his presence to us, of his provision for us. And who is it who's saying it? God, who cannot lie. He gives us his assurance and this hope that we have of salvation, of his presence, of his enabling. Does it mean that we don't have troubles? No. There can be all sorts of troubles and difficulties. But it is this reminder that he will not leave us alone. He will not leave us to fend for ourselves or to be desolate in the world. We have his hope and his assurance. I'm not wishing to drag us on. The thing that had drawn me to it was I'd as I tend to listen to YouTube hymns, Christian songs at different times, and I turned up, I've done it before on a number of occasions. There is a Hope by Stuart Townsend, which is why you've got a sheet with it on, which we will be singing shortly. But somewhere. No, I'll leave it. At the time of finding it this time, I found he gave the background to the writing of it and the choosing of it. Which is what had led, and it had come out of this verse 19 of Hebrews, that we've been looking at. And just really that thought that our faith, our hope, is in Jesus Christ, who is our Saviour. There is a hope that burns within my heart, that gives me strength for every passing day, a glimpse of glory now revealed in meagre part, yet drives all doubt away. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you. There is a hope that can burn within our hearts, that gives us strength every passing day. It's but a glimpse, a meager part of what's to come. And Lord, we thank you that you are the anchor of the soul. And it's not a question of, have we got a long enough rope? Have we gone into strong ground? Because your word tells us that you have entered the Holy of Holies and are there on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for that. That our faith doesn't depend fully on us. It depends upon you. And you have already done that needed to be done to win our salvation. And we thank you for that. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to work out your plans and purposes day by day in our lives. Again, Lord, we lift those who are unwell. We think particularly of Hugh at this time. They're in hospital, and we pray for him that you would draw near and strengthen him. We pray for the family. We pray for Anne. Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen. We thank you that our faith and our trust is in you. We again lift Margaret particularly before you and continue to pray for your hand of healing and restoration upon her. Draw very close and near to her. For others, Lord, with needs, with difficulties, we pray your hand. Lord, as we look and mention these, we're conscious that each of us have a need of one sort or another of you. We thank you that you are the faithful one. You are the one who leads us by the hand. You are the one who, even though we go through those deep waters, you are there with us, and that you will bring us out the other side. Father, for the rest of today and for the week coming, we pray that we would be a people who remember what you have done for us. But also, Lord, as we've thought today of those who serve to protect our way of life, we do pray for their well-being, for their health and their safety. Lord, we're conscious that it's not just the conflict, the physical fight, but there's so much more. In years gone by, it was called shell shock or post-traumatic stress. Lord, whatever name it has, they are your children, and we pray for your healing, your restoring, your renewing. The notion of those who've served coming back and life is completely different to what they've been used to for the last 4, 5, 10 years, 20 years. Lord, we pray that you would help them to find their place, because they have a place with you. But may they know a renewed place within the work, within daily life. that you would renew their spirits. And part us now with your blessing, the blessing of Father, Son and Holy Spirit, to abide with us and remain with us till we meet again, or till you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.